SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. And as we left yesterday, for those of you that listen to the replay as it feeds into the next day's live show, you heard minutes ago, I guess after the break, so 4 minutes ago, the late breaking news yesterday morning that Empire Maker had died over the weekend. And it's really triggered, very appropriate and predictably, a lot of memories and appreciations. And we'll join in that chorus. I knew we would. And later, and actually the next couple of days, I imagine, because certainly tomorrow when Sid visits for Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hillandale, Sid'll certainly riff on Empire Maker's, impact and lasting, what'll be a lasting impact, really worldwide. And his story is unusual. It took a twist. The detour as a stallion to Japan. And then the repatriation of Gainsway and Don Alberto. Going and getting them and bringing them back. And the twists and turns on that front, it'll be interesting to listen to Sid, talk about, how the, the appeal and the ebb and the flow and his sons and, what he, what he was able to accomplish, as he was leaving, really, and pioneer the Nile, obviously, and more. I mean, he's got, three, four sons that are at stud still here, and then with Pioneer the Nile getting American Pharoah, and, there's a lot of moving parts to what went on with Empire Maker. But his coming back to North America and delivering four crops, 2016, 17, 18, 19, four crops, will be a bonus, undoubtedly. And, we'll be unwrapping those presents for the next several years. We're going to talk to Garrett O'Rourke after the first break from Judmont, and Empire Maker's racing career, certainly as brief as it was, really. I mean, for all the carrying on about, we whisk these, this era, we whisk these horses off to stud at three. Well, Empire Maker, went to stud seemingly early and young. But it made his mark, obviously, as a racehorse. And what's fascinating, if you haven't had a chance yet to read Chris McGrath's TDN piece, and I'm sure Sid tomorrow will reference it, because Sid I saw it first when Sid tweeted it out, and it was being discussed yesterday. McGrath really touches on so many elements of Empire Maker and the Judmont portion of the equation, from his really from his origin. And I remarked to Garrett this morning, it was just last week, right? I for those of you that follow on Twitter and so forth and Facebook, I had sent out the link to the audio of Bobby Frankel from 11 years ago, from Frankel's reactions to the news that Tassaud had been euthanized. And the fact that it's about the same time of year, and a lot of people heard that, I think, heard that segment with Bobby for the first time. And in fact, I think it was my friend Dan, right? Dan Hart, I think. Was it Dan or maybe somebody else that said they had never heard Frankel's voice, and they'd never heard, they're fairly new fans of the game. And Bobby talked about the family, and McGrath writes, just glowingly and really beautifully. I can't recommend that. I guess it's sort of an opinion piece or a react. It's a combination. It's an obit. It's everything. It's a pedigree analysis. Really quite brilliant, and moving too. It's beautifully done. And it juxtaposes the creation of Empire Maker here and Frankel abroad, and how Prince Khalid named the two horses with such anticipation of their potential greatness, really. And as has been remarked very often, when you try to do that, it's kind of a fool's errand a lot of times, naming a horse ambitiously. But in the case of Empire Maker, for their American racing operation, and Frankel with Sir Henry Cecil and his campaigning, Frankel and Empire Maker really fulfilled the expectations and the lofty ambitions of their names. It's amazing, really, to me. I if we had access to all of our archives, some are missing, and there were some computers that were stolen. Some of Casey's older laptops were stolen several years ago, and quite a few archives were on those. And then we've got our collection of CDs that really need to be cataloged. But if we went through and plucked everything that we had about Empire Maker in particular, it would be kind of fun, I think, because we talked to Bobby about him plenty of times, and the family in general. The family has been a favorite of mine. Honest Lady was the one that really kind of hooked me, even more so than Empire Maker. And we've told the Honest Lady stories, but we've had a lot of good stories. The Bobby Frankel show, the afternoon. Bobby had passed in the morning, and we were a 4-7 show at that time. And Lou Lazanero called me at 7 o'clock and said, Bobby's gone. And we had the show hours later. And one of the really good stories that, you know, there are so many touching moments, but Gary Siaka tells the great story about being at the training track at Belmont when Empire Maker was a two-year-old and was going to get his gate card and was being gate schooled, and he's behind the gate and he's going crazy. I mean, he's up on his hind legs and he's making everybody nuts. And Gary was there schooling a horse, and so he called Frankel and said, Bobby, there's this big black horse. It's going crazy here. He goes, oh, and Bobby says, yeah, that's my Triple Crown horse. That's my Derby winner. And damn, if he didn't come, he came close. And certainly if, you know, not to take away from Funny Side by any means, but it, you know, if Empire Maker had been 100%, you don't know. You'd love to line them up a couple of more times because you just don't know. And you know, by the time 5 weeks had passed and Frankel had the chance to go back to New York and regroup and wait for Funny Side's arrival at Belmont, it was going to be tough. It was going to be very hard for Funny Side to beat him that day. And of course, 10 Most Wanted figures into that discussion too. But Empire Maker, for a certain age of player and fan, is one of those horses that engaged people, and you know, people became interested or, you know, latched on. And there was so much about that period that was that Triple Crown season that was high drama. And Frankel put on that black hat, boy. He was Little Bill in Unforgiven. For those of you that weren't there for it, and you know, during the period, Bobby was rough on Barkley Tag, and that was a fascinating 5 weeks, not the least of which involved the, you know, the just reprehensible antics of the Miami Herald and you know, the idiotic buzzer, you know, non-controversy that, you know, may very well have contributed to, we know it contributed because I've asked Jose Santos directly, you know, to the overly emphatic Preakness win by Funny Side. Hey, that was a wild Triple Crown sequence. Those can't say 5 weeks because it's really more than that, the lead into to Triple Crown. And there was plenty of tension. You know, everybody knew that Frankel was kind of limping in. We'll let Garrett talk about that he was kind of gingerly getting Empire Maker, you know, to the Derby period. So we'll have a terrific conversation. Every visit with Garrett O'Rourke is always compelling. And we'll also get an update from him. I do want to ask him about how the treatment of Arrogate and, you know, the breeding decision-making and if there was anything from the Empire Maker experience that has benefited and influenced, you know, what has happened subsequently, because when you read the McGrath piece, you'll note that McGrath makes the really salient point that it wasn't Empire Maker's fault that he didn't you know, light up the board immediately when his career started as a stallion, because he didn't necessarily fit, you know, perfectly, that he didn't necessarily mesh at that moment with the Judmont broodmares. So I want to let Garrett talk about that and how that's influenced the approach with Arrogate subsequently. Should be interesting. We got a nice eclectic morning here. Andy Serling. I'm sure Andy's got some thoughts about that sequence with Empire Maker from the Wood Memorial through the Belmont. And then the matchup that at Saratoga that didn't materialize, which was, you know, the funny side Empire Maker Travers that didn't happen. I mean, that, if, for those of you that don't remember, and oh my God, did it rain that day? It was Forrest Gump rain, sideways rain, upside down rain. It was nuts. Yeah, that one was. And of course, the Belmont day, right? The Belmont day. That was during that period where every big day in New York, it was miserable. It was either freezing cold, raining, or both. Right? Wasn't that the Belmont, that it was like 38 degrees in June? I think it was. Yeah, Smarty was the 100 degrees, and Funnyside was the 38 degrees. I can tell you a sidebar story to that involving gelato and sorbet. Don't get me going. Andy Serling. I've got a request out to Dr. Allday, and I haven't heard back yet, but I anticipate that we'll talk to Dr. Allday. Horse Health Today brought to you by Luberson and Reborn, because I want him in the coverage of this, you know, this sad and tragic passing of Empire Maker. They've talked about this immune system disease, but I haven't seen it actually named specifically. But we'll see what Steve can impart on that. And we've also got a report. I didn't do it on Friday because we had a, you know, we had a full slate and agenda. But the report from Dr. Bramlage and the Breeders' Cup about Mongolian Groom. And lots of fascinating insights in that. And I wanted Steve to talk about it. Jeremy Plonk, Countdown to the Crown. Get Jeremy's reaction to last week. Got some results to talk about. Pat McKenna, before we wrap up today, too. He's going to explain what's going on with that New York City cable channel. We'll start with Garrett O'Rourke. He joins us next to talk about Empire Maker.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Whether at home, at the track, or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BICK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BIC. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 years old and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I want to make it better. I'm coming back. Ask your doctor. Check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When you're dressing up, still it's not enough. You keep trying to impress man, he keeps falsifying. Try to be someone.
We're back at the races, 20 plus into hour one on this Tuesday. The word came yesterday with the official announcement that Empire Maker had been put down over the weekend and claimed by a autoimmune disease. And actually, the family has had a couple of these kinds of issues, right? Chester House cancer and Chiseling too had a neurologic disease. Much younger, the two of them. But Empire Maker being fondly remembered and appreciated, and certainly Garrett O'Rourke, who has joined us number of times with Empire Maker and the offspring of Toussaint as the topic. He joins us now. And Garrett, obviously, I speak for fans and horse players, breeders, and worldwide, expressing to you and Judmont collectively the sadness and real legitimate sorrow that people are expressing really around the globe.
Yeah, thanks, Stevie. You know, it's in our text interaction, I mean, I think it made it clear how much the horse meant to me and personally. And I think that was born just of, I mean, obviously the expectations that we had of a horse of his fantastic pedigree. But, gee, the moment this horse hit the ground, there was just something different about him, you know. He just, he was a beautiful, beautiful animal. But he just had the most beautiful temperament, and this is not me just saying it. And I think anyone that was ever around the horse, he did have some of the Toussaint quirks to him, but he was a much more personable horse than Toussaint was. He absolutely loved being around people. And I don't know with some of these horses, if it's that are always surrounded by people, if they evolve into loving the attention, or if it's just in their nature from the beginning. But I mean, he could ham it up when the cameras started clicking, and he was just quintessential Hollywood star, you know. I mean, the type that you hear people saying when these Brad Pitts or whatever walk into a room that you just know that they're there. You can feel that they're there straight away. And he just had that aura about him. He had it as a foal. He had it as a yearling. When we broke him, when we started pre-training him, when we got to March of his two-year-old year, it had risen to such a degree that we had a $2,000 bet at 100-1 on him for the Kentucky Derby before he even ever left the farm. But we had never felt that way or that confidently about a horse, I think, prior to him. And, you know, he was named Empire Maker at that stage. It just felt like the stars were aligning, and unfortunately didn't get all the way in the Derby, but he gave us a hell of a ride and ultimately won the Belmont and gave Bobby a great day. I mean, Bobby hadn't won a classic, cold classic race up until that, and I really felt like Empire Maker just kind of validated everything, and winning it in Belmont, I don't think I ever saw Bobby as personally satisfied. He was a hard man to satisfy, but I don't think I ever saw him as personally satisfied as he was after Empire Maker won the Belmont. And then, you know, I mean, obviously retiring to studs and talking to Brian Graves last week, I'm delighted that Brian called me and invited me over to see the horse. And he and Michael Hernan had told me that he wasn't doing well, and I got to see the horse last week. Now, his groom, when he was with Bobby Frankel, Ruben Loza, who's now with Richard Baltus, and Ruben loved the horse as well, but he taught him to stick his tongue out, and he'd lead him around the stall with no halter on, with just his tongue, and Empire Maker just got to love having his tongue pulled.
Right.
And I went over last week, and I went into him, and I guess they hadn't been doing it at Gainsway, and I just flicked my fingers, and he stuck that tongue out straight away and let me pull on it. And I have to say that choked me a little bit, you know. So, but just a lovely horse to be around, and his offspring are lovely horses to be around, just kind and good-natured horses, and just happy horses, you know. And you know, there's a lot that goes wrong in this game, and I think there's horses that just give you back an inner feeling of a kind of a joy, you know. And he was definitely one of those horses, you know. And you know, I was very fond of him, you know.
Well, and that's a wonderful, you know, memory to have, and I am glad that you got a chance. And I was going to ask you if you had seen him recently, because the word had actually, in the last 2 weeks, word had kind of trickled out that Gainsway had informed those that had intended to, you know, that had booked to Empire Maker for this season. They had let people know that they needed to make alternate arrangements, and that word had kind of made some rounds, and that was really the first indication that, you know, that something was amiss. And you know, and then in fairly, you know, short fairly short order, this, you know, this further news. I've got to talk a little about some of the origins and some of the early decision making, because he was the sixth foal for Toussaint, and Chester House, Honest Lady, Dakarchi, Civilization, who was really one of the few misfires, the Gone West colt, then Chiseling, then Empire Maker. And Garrett, in terms of the mating and you know, going to Unbridled, Doc Chandler and what went into that?
Well, you know, I don't think anyone ever even asked the question, and it was well after the fact. I remember talking to Prince Khaled up there about doing the mating, and I said, you know where it really came from? I was up in Churchill Downs one day, And, you know, you're always going to the races, and or I guess people that are breeders go to the races and they look at horses, and sometimes, or me at least, I'll look at offspring out of mares who maybe buy stallions or from families that we have, and see, well, what works for the better horses from those families. But I saw Banshee Breeze at Carl Nasker's barn across the way from wherever we were, and she was the most. She was having getting a bath, and I thought she was the most beautiful specimen of a thoroughbred. And honestly, that's where the idea of like, wow, you know, that would really suit Tussaud. And I think that's where it all hatched. And that's why I said it's when you get these ideas. Look, that's not the only crazy idea that struck me at the races or whatever over the years. You know, there's hundreds of failures before for every success. But there's a tremendous satisfaction when you think something up like that. You go back, you look at the cross, you go, wow, yeah, that would be really neat. And then you start going through all of the physical attributes, the mental attributes, and you think, you still feel like, gee, this would be a lovely cross. And then you do it, and the mare gets in foal, and you get a foal delivered, and that's usually when you hit the disappointment. Like, oh, that's not what I ordered. That's, you know, you're taking the cake out of the oven, and you're scratching your head going, how did that sink? But Empire Maker hit the ground. I can remember being at his birth and pulling him out and just taking one look at him and thinking, oh, absolutely perfect. And he was a gorgeous, gorgeous physical specimen. And you know, you could see from some of the photographs of him in the publications this morning. Some of them are old photographs that I had kind of forgotten about, but one of them was of him posing while on the track at Belmont Park. And I mean, it's just a model of what anyone would dream to try and produce in a thoroughbred. He just epitomized handsomeness, you know, and everything that you love. And, you know, so last year I went to the sales in September, and his yearlings sold exceptionally well, but I made the comment to a few people, wow, I saw so many beautiful Empire Makers, and, you know, it brought back a lot of emotions for me, you know, having been around so many of them over the years. But he had lovely, lovely yearlings, and they sold exceptionally well at the Keeneland sales. So hopefully there's a tribute to his legacy that still has to come on the racetrack in the next couple of years as well. That would be neat.
And I mentioned four crops after the return from Japan. The total is 139, 138, 110, and 126. So there's, you know, there's a nice, you know, 500 that have a potential to, you know, make their mark yet. And so who knows what comes. And in that regard, Garrett, there's probably more I'd like to talk about the racing career, but bring us back to the start of the stallion career. And he started for $100,000 and obviously was going to be a house horse and was going to service mares that, you know, the Judmont Broodmare Band. But it seems in reading Chris McGrath's piece that was a little bit of a, I don't want to say a mismatch, but that he wasn't necessarily a natural fit for the program at that time.
Yeah, that would be the assumption. And definitely we had the majority of our broodmare band, even in the U.S. at the time, was, you know, or they were turf mares. I don't know. It's really hard to say. Maybe it was just a statistical anomaly because plenty of other people had success with mares that were from grass pedigrees with him. Maybe it was just one of those weird things that we just couldn't hit the bullseye for some strange reason. We got some lovely lookers over the years by him, and we got some nice horses, but we just couldn't seem to outside of Emollient, we just couldn't seem to strike gold with him. We've got some nice brood mares, and but there was definitely a disappointment given that we really Prince Khaled went all in on Empire Maker. He felt like, you know, this is one of the elite stallion prospects that he's ever retired to stud, and he bred his absolute best mares to him every single year, and we got some return, but nowhere near the return that that was expected of him. So, you know, the easy explanation would be to say the turf mares didn't work with an exclusively dirt stallion. But like I said, there are examples out there where it did work with him. But he was an all or nothing type of stallion, as was Unbridled. I mean, their statistics weren't sky high, but when they got a good one, well, it was a Royal Delta, or, you know, and it was a champion. There were a lot of them that failed. It was just that the success ones were absolute superstars, and given that they weren't in large quantities out there, yeah, the statistical anomaly explanation could be a viable one as well. You know, maybe if we'd kept him another year or two, maybe we were on the verge of getting a superstar. We've got more dirt mares in our broodmare band in Judmont at the moment, and maybe if we had him today, maybe we'd have made better use of him. I don't know. It's hard to say, and it's a pity, but I'm just delighted we had him because we had great fun with him.
Well, and on that topic, and that was a follow-up that I did want to ask you as part of, you know, the whole, you know, pantheon, really, and this whole experience, that two things. Did you participate? Did Judmont participate with him upon the return? And did you send any mares to him? And then how has that experience from the planning stages and from these early executions, how has it influenced your approach with Arrogate?
I'll answer the first question first. The when Prince Khaled makes a decision, one of the things I've admired about him is he is black or white and very easy man to work with from that point of view. But it's sometimes you agree with the decisions and sometimes you don't. But when he makes a decision, it's over and done with. We sold the horse. He was brought back. And honestly, I never once brought up or even mentioned the possibility of breeding to him. And Prince Khaled never said, let's breed to the horse again. So I think we turned the page. I accepted that Prince Khaled had turned the page, and no, we never did breed back to the horse again. And we had lots of his broodmares in our broodmare band at the moment. It wasn't like we had a shortage of them and needed more of the bloodlines. We were actually looking more for outcrosses, I think, at that point in time for the Empire Maker mares. Remember, we've had a lot of, not just Empire Maker mares, but First Defense mares, Chester House mares, and also a lot of the Tussaud family in our broodmare band again. So, you know, it wasn't like we had to search more of it, of the bloodlines at the time. So we left that be. How it related to Arrogate, yes, I think definitely not ones for trying to keep on doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result when Arrogate came along. We definitely consciously made the decision to buy mares like Paula Silverlining, Golden Mischief, and quite a few other mares that had dirt pedigrees and were dirt runners. Not that we didn't breed some of our elite pedigreed mares as well. I think in the interim we had also gotten some of our pedigrees maybe a little bit more fine-tuned in over a 20-year period to where they were producing dirt horses or by dirt stallions and, you know, by using a little bit more of the Seattle Slough line, Papiano line or whatever, that Into Mischief and starting to get offspring by those dirt stallions, that we had more opportunity, I think, to breed more of the dirt mares. And I think it's definitely allowed us to put more of a balance of dirt bloodline into Arrogate. But who knows? Again, who knows? I mean, look what an American Pharaoh is doing at the moment, and who would have predicted that, you know? So all you can do is try the same as if you're betting on horses. I think you just try to work the odds to your advantage and react to the odds, and that's what we're trying to do at the moment.
And I appreciate, you know, I appreciate both parts of the answers. And the minute you started about the prince's approach being black and white, I knew where that was going. The looking at you know, back at the produce, and it is amazing that Empire Maker, it was really the end, right? I mean, he was the last top horse that Tussaud got, and you know, she in very swift, you know, fashion. I mean, the five major stake horses and then some with the first six foals, and then kind of tailed off. I mean, Empire Maker was really her crowning achievement.
Yeah, I mean, it's I'd hate to insinuate that there was any disappointment related to Tussaud and what she gave to us, because her record was absolutely amazing. And we had obviously the four Grade One winners out of her. You had mentioned Civilization as being one of the ones that was a disappointment, but it wasn't so much that he was a disappointment from a racing point of view. He just had her quirk gene to such a degree that he literally pulled himself up twice in races. He was a kind horse, but he didn't like racing, and he decided not to race. So, and then we had another filly called Tolerance that we had a high opinion of, and she got hurt, and an AP Indy mare, Mesmeric, as well, that unfortunately had an inner ear issue. She looked like a racehorse, but it affected her balance, and she never got to the races. So really, there were explanations for some of the others, and by that stage of Tussaud's career, she was starting to run into health problems. Tremendous mare to immediately get in foal, and managed and was very healthy through her pregnancies. She seemed to be healthier in foal than not in foal, which was something that probably influenced us to keep on going ahead and breeding her. And I don't know if that was, if it kicked her immune response into gear and made her much healthier when she was in foal. It seemed like definitely it was the case. And but you know, she had quite a few health issues. We had a whole barn, and this we totally adapted just for her. It was heaters, it was air conditions, anything at all that she needed, she was given, and she earned every bit of it. But she, oddly enough, didn't. Tisad never really wanted too many people in the barn. Never wanted too many people around her. She didn't. She definitely wasn't a camera hog like Empire Maker was. But yeah, he couldn't get enough clicks. He just loved the crowd around him.
Bobby, I told you that I circulated that. It's about a 10, 11, 12 minute piece with Bobby, reacting to her passing. And it was really sweet. And he talked about how sweet she was, but how flighty. And then, of course, Honest Lady picked up the ball. And Honest Lady has, in fact, been a wonderful next generation on the female front. Which begs the question: where is that annual? The last, the most Sorry? Recent honest the annual the last of the on, the most recent Honest Lady baby.
Well, Honest Mischief was the last.
The last runner
was the last runner, and the Noble Mission Filly annual, it went to England, and she'll be bred over there. She wasn't as good an individual as Honest Mischief, but yeah, Chad is still hoping that he'll get a big race out of Honest Mischief this year, and he's got a lot of the personality that his mother had as well, because Honest Lady was just like Empire Maker. She was Ruben Loza, who and Bobby, but Ruben was I have a tremendous regard for Ruben and his ability as a horseman, as did Bobby. But their favorite was Flute, and my favorite was always Honest Lady of the Seattle Slough Fillies that we had there at the time. They were both amazing personalities, and I think they were as fond of Honest Lady probably as they were of Empire Maker. But everyone forgets that we were at one stage Bobby was adamant that he was going to the Derby with Honest Lady, and around this time of year he was all over the idea of going to the Derby. I thought, God, steady on. We have got, and he ran her, I think, in the San Philippe, and she ran well. Just got beaten in a blanket finish, and up until that point in time he was adamant that he was going to the Derby, and I think he was starting to get Derby fever at the time, and that didn't work out, gave her the time off, and ultimately turned into a brilliant one-turn horse, but she ran against the colts on numerous occasions. Obviously was nearly won the Breeders' Cup Sprint, and was placed in the Met Mile as well. So she was one of those fillies that really, when you go back and look at her record, a lot of people look at her record and go, "Wow, I didn't realize she accomplished that much." But he faced her pretty high because he had that guy of an opinion off her, but she was a getting past the ability and the pedigree. Honest Lady was everyone's favorite here on the farm. She was just a darling of a horse to be around, and she was like having a dog in the barn. I mean, if you had visitors and you brought them into the barn, you'd bring her to Honest Lady because, she was the personality, and Empire Maker was the personality in the stallion barn. There were types of horses, if you wanted to get people to fall in love with the game and with horses, they'd have it done in 10 minutes.
Well, and of course, to circle back to the racing, we're going to listen to Tom Durkin's Belmont call before we wrap up. But to circle back to the racing portion of the discussion, I don't know if you heard me. I know you were out and about on the farm earlier, Garrett, but Garrett O'Rourke with us from Judmont talking about Empire Maker. But I talked about what a tumultuous Triple Crown season it was, the lead up to Derby, and Bobby was fighting the hoof issue, a similar storyline to Baffert dealing with Point Given 2 years earlier. But then after, falling just short and chasing Funnyside home in the Derby, the regroup back to Belmont, the 5 week lead up. And meanwhile, Barkley Tag and Jose Santos and Funnyside were dealing with, some media pressure not of their doing. And Bobby fed right into that, Garrett. And for people that don't recall this, Bobby was quite willing to, he was badgering Barkley. There's no two ways about it.
Well, he in the build up to the Belmont, it wasn't like the horse went off and won by 10 lengths, but honestly, Bobby gave us the feeling like this race is over. We are absolutely, he was so confident going into the Belmont, and oh God, I missed that because he had that personality as well that I've even heard Baffert say it. He said, I used to hate when Frankel would come up to me and just say, I see you got a horse in today. You know you can't win. And he just really liked being pulling the carpet out from under people. So, he definitely was on the muscle for that 3 weeks before the Belmont, which made us feel really, really good. Because when Bobby got like that, Bobby delivered, that's fun thinking back at it as well. I told you earlier as well, when he was a 2-year-old, I can remember getting up there, and that's the first time that Bobby really started to get the feeling like he had something special. And I arrived at about 8 o'clock on a Friday morning to Belmont Park, and when I came in, the Ron Andersons, the whole lot, they all came up to me and said, hey, Bobby's after working a horse this morning, and he had Jerry Bailey on Medaglia Doro, who was a 3-year-old. And he said he worked a 2-year-old, and he said he gave Medaglia Doro all he could handle, and he won't tell us who he is. that was Empire Maker, and he was Bobby was giggly excited when I got to the barn, and that was the first recognition that okay, we got something special on our hands here.
I should really be easy to pull that up, because we've got the Bobby Frankel Remembered show on the Best Of page, and Gary told the story of calling Bobby when Empire Maker was trying to get his gate card. He said, "You got this big dark horse. He's going crazy. Yeah, that's my Derby horse."
he had his calendar marked already with him, I'd say, from a very early stage, and he did give him his classic, and he did deliver, and he was a horse that delivered a lot of triumphs, but more importantly, I think he delivered a lot of great memories for us, he was everything that he was promised to be, I think everyone here on the farm that ever worked around him, feels sad that he's gone, but yet they all, we have Pat O'Flynn, who's our Now our broodmare manager, he used to ride him back then, and Scott Walker, who has trained all of the pre-trained all of the horses here on the farm, and you know we've got a lot of Empire Maker stories from when he was here. But you know, again, we always felt like we had a superstar here when Empire Maker was around. You know, he had the rock star image and aura about him, and they were good days.
We're going to listen to the Belmont win. Garrett O'Rourke's been with us. Let's get to Tom Durkin's call, the 2003 Belmont Stakes, a Triple Crown try that falls short, but it's also the crowning achievement in Empire Maker's career.
And they're off in the 135th Belmont Stakes. Empire Maker broke alertly. Scrimshaw right there and Funnyside off to a very sharp beginning. And those three scrimmaging for the lead as they move into the clubhouse turn. Dine Ever and Ten Most Wanted just in behind running fourth and fifth. Five lengths back to Longshot Supervisor. Funnyside and Scrimshaw.
No, huh?
Funnyside on
all
the
right.
Outside.
Well,
Scrimshaw to the inside. And a change
no,
of
I'm not hearing
here for Funnyside today. A change of tactics from the Derby and the Preakness. He is going to be the early leader. Funnyside in front as they round the sweeping clubhouse turn here at Belmont Park. Scrimshaw will sit back in second. And Empire Maker and Jerry Bailey, they broke from the rail, but now they're on the outside. And they are tracking Funnyside intently as they make their turn into the backstretch now. Then only three lengths behind the front runners on the outside is 10 Most Wanted, followed by Dine Ever to his inside, six lengths back to trailing Supervisor. The quarter in 23 and 4, the half in 48 and 3/5 seconds. Honest enough, the leader is Funnyside, tracked by his arch rival, Empire Maker, on the outside, glued to him as they continue their run down the backstretch. Scrimshaw's not far behind. He's third toward the inside. Dine Ever now gets a little nudge from Edgar Prado. Ten Most Wanted on the outside, sitting chilly. They're halfway through the Belmont. They've run three quarters in 113 and 2. And it's Funnyside and Empire Maker 1-2. Scrimshaw, Gary Stevens asking a bit more from him. He's down toward the inside. Dine Ever, Ten Most Wanted, well within striking range as the field moves into the far turn. It's Funnyside still holding that lead. The imposing presence of Empire Maker right alongside. They've been 1-2 throughout. They enter the final half mile together. And now Bailey makes his move with Empire Maker. He is at the throat latch of Funnyside. Funnyside and Empire Maker. There's nothing between them. And at the midway point on the far turn, Empire Maker pokes his head in front. Emboldened by that challenge, Funnyside fights right back. And 10 Most Wanted right there in behind them with Pat Day as the field turns for home in the Belmont. And it is Empire Maker on the outside. Santos has gone to the whip on Funnyside. Empire Maker a short lead. Funnyside is doing his best, but he's dropping back. And here comes Pat Day, and he's coming with 10 Most Wanted. Funnyside has dropped back to third, down to the final 100 yards of the Belmont. Empire Maker Jerry Bailey asking him for everything he has. 10 Most Wanted right there with him. Here's the wire, and Empire Maker has won the 135th Belmont Stakes. He won it by a neck over 10 Most Wanted. Farther back, Funnyside checked in third, beaten five lengths.
Well, Garrett, I could not hear it. I don't know if you could.
I did. I got it.
Oh, good. All right.
It brings back the memories of a funny addendum to that day. I told you that Bobby was just so proud, I think, to win his classic at Belmont. Obviously, we weren't that popular having beaten the New York star in Funnyside. And it was pouring out of the heavens. And while we were waiting for the presentation, and the governor was there, and Bobby, Jerry Bailey, and his wife, and ourselves, and they went to a commercial break on the national television feed, and we had to wait in the rain. And the crowd just got really, really crazy and obnoxious. And they started to throw beer cans. And I can remember Jerry Bailey and his wife especially started to get really, really nervous and thinking, should we run out of here? Are they going to charge us? Or, what's going to come of all of this? And I remember looking at the governor and Bobby, and they had big old smirks on their face, like, New York crowd, they're one of us. And they actually got a kick out of it. But I tell you, yeah, Bobby wasn't in any way nervous. He was just enjoying it to such a degree that, it was rare to see a grin from ear to ear like he had on his face that day. And it was plastered all over his face. And he enjoyed that day to the fullest.
There's a wonderful picture that I know I've used of Bobby hoisting the very hefty Belmont trophy. And it's the big round ornate piece and he's got that Cheshire Cat grin on his face, and it was special. Well, Garrett, this was wonderful, and I know everybody appreciates the reaction. He's going to be buried at Gainesway in their very storied cemetery, and he'll have a place forever in hearts and certainly in the stud book, where his influence will go on forever. Knowing what's already out there worldwide too. I mean that part of it, and as a broodmare sire as well, so much influence. So,
I think one of the great legacies he has won't be recognized by the general public, but I think anyone that works around the Empire Maker, people that really love horses, I think they're the ones that really get to feel what lovely horses they are to be around. And I've heard a lot of comments from people like that, people here on the farm and people elsewhere. Everything that was said of what a beautiful personality American Pharaoh obviously has, well, that came from Empire Maker, and I think that's so his legacy will be there, I think, for all those people that just love working around those neat personality horses, and they kind of warm you inside. So end of an era, but we had great fun with him.
Garrett O'Rourke, Judmont Farms, and Empire Maker. Garrett, thank you so much.
Thanks, Dave. Take care.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. Garrett. We always see him on the road, and a horse that got a lot of people undoubtedly hooked and interested, even in the disappointment, at the time of the Belmont, of the Derby, because he went into Derby, as the horse to beat. And that was 5-2 favorite. Well, I wasn't sure during the audio of Durkin's call, I couldn't hear it for some reason. But I'm glad I wasn't sure at first if everybody was hearing it or not. We'll get some of Andy Serling's. I'm sure Andy has got reaction too to the career, which was, other than the sham, and the Derby. And the Florida Derby. Those three of his eight starts came away from New York, but everything else at Belmont Aqueduct and the career finale at Saratoga when Strong Hope beat him. And that was it. Back after this, hour two at the races. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRFSports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the song on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood fraternities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Oh, well, come on, everybody, and let's get together tonight. I got some money in my jeans, and I'm really gonna spend it right.
We're back at the races, coming up on 10 minutes into hour two after a really pleasant 45 minutes with Garrett O'Rourke, talking Empire Maker. And Andy Serling joins us from NYRA, and I was mentioning Andy as we were wrapping up five of Empire Maker's eight starts coming in New York, and he was, you know, he was the story pretty much his whole career.